Moses, an amazing adventure, the one who held his hands up and the Red Sea parted and the Israelites crossed over on dry ground. Moses, the one whose staff God used when he approached the Egyptian ruler to show God's power, God took Moses' staff and it became used by God to bring about many signs and wonders to show this Egyptian people who God really is. This Moses, it was an amazing, glorious adventure. And I'm not sure that anybody wanted that to end. But now the end comes for Moses. His life lived, his journey comes to an end. And I want to say it this way. In a way, it was like a seed that dies. In the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about that. He says, what you sow, a seed of wheat or anything, it does not come to life unless it dies. And so this concept of a seed dying so that it can live, I can see that with every change of season. An acorn falls to the ground. It enters into the soil. It dies there in the ground, and then it is reborn in a small oak tree. And all over my yard springs up all these little oak trees. And they don't live now. I have to do something about those. But the idea of a seed that dies, it must die so that it can live. So it was with Moses. So it was with the great dream of Moses' life, this grand dream. It came to an end right here in the last chapter of Deuteronomy. I want to read it for us. It's a short chapter, and so pay attention as I read. Maybe as I read, your mind will begin to not wander, but paint a picture of this old, old patriarch named Moses. When Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho, there the Lord showed him the whole land that was before him, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms as far as Zoar. God laid it all out for Moses to see. This vast, wide land. This is the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord said, when I said to them, I will give it to your descendants. Moses, I have let you see it with your eyes. This is what I will give to this people to keep my promise. But you will not cross over into it. The Lord and Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there, as the Lord had said. And the Lord buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where the grave is. They can't find it. No markings. It's a mystery. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Could you imagine living that long? Yet his eyes were not weak or his strength gone. Then could you imagine living 120 years old, still being able to see and still being able to hear? Some of us haven't even reached 70 yet and we are losing our eyesight and our hearing is going bad. But not so with Moses. He remained strong even up to the very end. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. And then verse 9. And now this is a turn, okay? So catch the turn here. Now, Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the Spirit, that's capital S, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on Joshua. So the Israelites listened to Joshua and did what the Lord had commanded. Verse 10. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders that the Lord had sent him to do in Egypt. He finished the work. All the work that he did and all the signs and wonders shown to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to all the land of Egypt. Verse 12, for no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Listen, Moses' story is grand. There may not be a better story, a grander story in all of history. How do you top verse 10? How do you top those experiences that is described about Moses? He saw God face to face. He did all these wonderful things, all these wondrous deeds. He finished the task. How do you top that? I don't know if you do. Moses was like no other prophet. The glory of Moses, the magnificence of him, the obedience of him was almost untouchable. He knew the Lord face to face. He did all the Lord sent him to do. He showed mighty power and awesome deeds. I don't know how you top that. And I'm not sure that it should be tried. The work God had planted into the life of Moses, in a sense, had to die in Moses. And it did. Moses knew it was not his work to lead Israel into the promised land. Moses died right there, and the work was completed. And Moses died, and Moses was buried by God. Not by his people, no markings of the grave. He was buried by God. The burial spot unknown. His journey complete. But a death gives way to a birth. A death gives way to a new birth. It's like that seed that goes into the ground, only to spring forth into a new birth. Moses did not spring forth from the ground. He was buried by God. He did not live again. Moses did not spring forth from the ground, but a new work of God did. Joshua rises up as God's new leader for the people. Joshua was filled with the Spirit of God, and the people followed Joshua onward and out and into the new thing that God was creating, that new thing that God had promised, that land that God had given. I'm sure among the people there were questions that they had about what was going to come next. How can we experience anything that will compare to the past? How will there ever be another great leader for us? Will we die here in the desert? Will we die as a people? What about our future? They asked. Questions abounded. They had to have abounded. But God was at work. The people had questions, but God was working. And God was doing a new thing. Now, from this point on, I just want to tell you, I want to just share from my heart a little bit, okay? I believe this old story of Moses being buried by God has some replanting lessons for us. You see, Robertsville, in March of last year, we relaunched our church in a way. That relaunching was the beginning of God replanting a people right here in this place. God doing that work of replanting us. The work that had happened prior to that, for those of us that were a part of that, it really was more like preparation. It was most definitely a work, and there was plenty of blood, sweat, and tears associated with it, no doubt. But it was preparation for what God inaugurated in March of last year as he replanted us. We are on a journey, and I can tell you, I'm not sure when that journey will end. I don't know when the finale will be. I don't know when the last chapter will be written. But I believe that we are on a replanting journey together. And I believe that in this old story of Moses coming to his end, of Joshua rising up, there are some replanting lessons for us as a church. And so if you're a guest here today, or maybe you're new to Robertsville, I want to tell you, replanting is just a key part of who we are as a people these days. Robertsville has a beautiful, wonderful, and glorious history. And we have a library, we have archives, we've got ways that you can research that and discover that. If you're talking to someone that's been around Robertsville a long time, you might hear them talk about some of those glory days. I've never really said this publicly before, but it's almost like God has buried something of our past. It's like our past, all of the glorious and even the less than glorious days had to be laid to rest so that a new thing could spring forth. I believe that we are in the Lord's new thing today. I believe that's what God has done and is doing here among us through replanting. The journey of His people. Now, the journey of His people, the past, it's not been wiped away. It's not being wiped clean, but it has been laid to rest so that a new thing, a new journey, a new story can unfold. God does some burying so that He can do some birthing. To kind of conclude my message today, I just want to talk about three lessons that I've gleaned from this story that I believe applies to us as a people. The first one, you can see it in verse 8. If you're still in the text there, you can look back at verse 8, and it says, the Israelites did what? Grieved. The Israelites grieved. I want to say to us, church, that grieving is a part. Grieving is a part of a journey. Grieving is the part of something that is passing away and something that is being born. Recently, I heard a new mom, in a way, say, you know, I loved being pregnant, and I loved the realization that in my body was my child, and in some way, giving birth, I lost that experience. And so it was such an interesting way to hear a mom say, there was some grieving as I lost that experience of carrying my child. Now there's greater joy, right, in having that child in your arms and loving that child, for sure. But grieving is a part of a journey, of a movement, of moving forward, of not being stuck where you've been. Grieving is a part of that. Grieving is not bad. Grieving is not always wailing. Sometimes it is. Grieving is not always a process. They talk about the process of grief, and you never want to hold grief back and delay it, or, you know, kind of sweep it away so that you don't have to face it. You want to move through grief for sure, but you don't have to necessarily. Well, I think what I'm saying is that it's not always a process. It's something that each of us experiences differently. But grieving is a part, church, of our journey. We remember the old glory, some of us. Some of us helped to create it. We remember times that were just absolutely glorious in this place. And we miss that. We remember it. We miss people who are no longer here. Friday, we said goodbye to a saint of Robertsville, Mary Liz Alexander. We said goodbye to her as she has gone on to be with the Lord in heaven. And we miss people. And sometimes that missing never goes away, for sure. We reminisce about bygone activities and ministries of our church. So we grieve, and grieving is a part of our journey together. The past is not wiped away. The people that have gone on to heaven, we still remember them, and we still speak their names and remember what it was about their lives that we loved, who they were as people and as Christians, followers of Christ. So grieving is a part of the journey, and I just want to tell you, church, as I believe the Lord has buried something of our past and is giving birth to something of our future, it's okay to grieve, to talk about and to reminisce and to remember and to long for, but not in a way that keeps us stuck or in a way that keeps us buried. So even though grieving was a part of the process, the people were not buried in grief. So lesson one that I want to share with our church: it's okay to grieve. It's okay to remember. It's okay to long for, to miss. It's okay to celebrate our past. Amen? But there's another lesson here. Verse 9 talks about it. Moses met with the Lord and he passed away. The Lord buried him. Nobody knew where it was. But verse 9, there's a turn in the story. And it goes from Moses now to Joshua. Now Joshua was filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. The text says the Spirit of wisdom, of God's wisdom. What I want to say is that the Spirit is in what lies ahead. The Spirit is in what lies ahead. There are new things, new glory, new people, new activities, new ministries that we do not even know yet that the Lord is giving birth to. And that is where the Spirit is. That is where the Holy Spirit is. When we walk in step with the Spirit, and you'll hear us talk about that around here, walking in step with the Spirit, as Paul says in Galatians 5, and when we walk in step with the Spirit, we are participating in the new that God is bringing about. When we walk in step with the Spirit. That is the second lesson, church, for this replanting journey that we're on. The Spirit of God is in the journey ahead. He is not in the past. He is in what is ahead. He is in the new thing that is being born, the new people that are being born to him, new ministries, new activities that we've not even experienced yet. You know, God maybe has dropped a seed into your heart of a new ministry that he is just waiting to give birth to through you, and we don't even know it yet. So there are new things ahead for us. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that amazing that God works in that way? Amen. We're participating in the new that God is bringing about as we walk in step with the Spirit. That's the second lesson. The third lesson is this. Verse 10, it says, talking about Moses, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses. Since that time, no prophet had risen up like Moses. But church, today I want to give you some good news. As much as we learn about and love and are taught by Moses, there is a greater prophet that has risen up. There is one who has risen since Moses, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Moses did not know Jesus, but we do. Praise God. Thanks be to God that we know Jesus Christ. There is one who has risen, and it is Jesus Christ. And so this third lesson is that Jesus Christ is the one who defines who we are as a people. Nothing else. No one else. There is no other agenda except that of Jesus Christ. And so we seek to know him. We seek to live our lives in Christ. We seek to be identified as people who are in Christ. There is no other identity. I was going to say that matters. There is no other identity that should claim us any more than who we are in Jesus Christ. And so we seek to know his life. We seek to know the words of Jesus, what he spoke, what he taught. We seek to know the ways of Jesus, how Jesus was with people, how he treated people, who he gravitated towards, who he challenged, who he pushed back on, who he rejected. We seek to know the ways of Jesus, his kindness, his kindness, his refusal to simply behave according to a way that had been buried with Moses. We seek to know this one, Jesus Christ, and he makes claims on our lives that no one else and nothing else can or should. We seek to know his life, his ways, his word. We seek to know his will. And so before, as a church, before we ever set out to do something, especially now that we're on a replanting journey, before we ever seek to step out and just do something, we must know what it is that Jesus Christ wants and what he would do. That helps us to know, Lord, what it is we should do. We seek to know his will for our church, but also for our lives. Lord, what do you want for me, for my life? How is it that you want me to live? What is it that you want for my future? We seek to know the will of Jesus. But not just that. There was a passage I shared Friday night that comes out of Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul is speaking about the great and glorious work of God in Jesus Christ. And it says that we who are in Christ are the workmanship of God. What that means is that in some way, when we have responded to God and received Christ into our lives, we are no longer our own, that we become the workmanship of God. He is working on us. He is working in us. He is molding us and shaping us and crafting us in the way that he wants. And so when we are people who are focused on Jesus Christ, we're aware that Jesus is working in us, shaping us and forming us into who he wants us to be, not who we want to be. Sometimes it's good news to know that God is working on us, because I know the miserable mess that I create when I'm working on myself or when I'm just letting myself go. I know the miserable mess that I end up with. And I'm glad to know that God is working, because I know that I can't work it out. And so, God, I need to be your workmanship. I need to be your another word for that is your masterpiece. That the work that God is doing in you, you become like a masterpiece. You might think that you're a failure. You might, not think well of yourself. And what I want to tell you today is that God calls you a masterpiece. Not because you're a master worker, but because he is. And he can take our lives, and when we put our lives in his hands, he works on us and turns us into the person he wants us to be. We're not where we need to be yet, but we're on that journey. But God is working in us and on us. And so that's that third lesson. In some sense, if we were worshipers of Moses, Moses is buried somewhere nobody knows. But we're not worshipers of Moses. We're worshipers of Jesus Christ. and he is risen. And he is alive, and he is powerful, and he is at work, and he is leading us out on this replanting journey. One of the ways that as a church we kind of all join together in that belief or that way together is we covenanted together as a church. This was back in June of 2022. It's been a while. But we covenanted together. We said we believe that this is what God is doing in and among us. We believe what the Lord is doing through us out in the community surrounding us. And so we just simply said this is a journey that we want to be on together. And the Lord is still calling people to be a part of that journey. And that's exciting to me. It's exciting to look out and to see, even this morning, to see how it is that God is bringing about an increase. And it's glorious. It's wonderful. It's exciting. And it's amazing. And you're a part of that. And so I want to thank God for our gathering today. I want to thank God for your presence here today and for what his word has spoken to us today. And as pastor, I'm not the one that determines your takeaway, what it is that you're supposed to take away from his word. God is the one that speaks to your heart. And I pray and trust that his spirit has spoken and is calling you to consider something or to consider a response to him, or to maybe hear him speaking to our hearts or to your mind or to your heart in a particular kind of way. I want to invite us into a time of prayer as we conclude today. Lord, I thank you for this old story that gives birth to a new thing that you're doing in us, in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, in 2023. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we follow after you, that you would teach us how it is that you're leading us on this journey together. I thank you, Lord, that as we remember a past, it's not that that past is wiped away. It's just that sometimes something has to come to an end so that a new thing can be born. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you have brought about a new thing and that it's just beginning. And I pray, Lord, that you would put into our hearts an excitement, an enthusiasm, a joy, Lord, of being on this journey with you. Father, thank you that you've poured out your spirit here and that you're calling us to walk in step with your Holy Spirit, teaching us what it means for there to be a demonstration of the Spirit's power in our lives and in our midst and through our ministry out into the community. Jesus, thank you that you are alive and well. We worship you, Lord, and we want to follow you, and we want to know you, and we want to be identified as yours, and we want to grow in Christ. And so, Lord, you have your way in our individual lives and in our homes and in our church. You lead us out into this community around us. You're already there, Lord. You care about the people that live around us more than we ever could. But I want to say, Lord, that you've ignited in our hearts a love for the people that live so close to us. Continue to fan that flame, Lord, and continue to lead us as we follow you out into the world that's around us, and that we will follow you even beyond that to wherever it is that you'll lead us, knowing that you go with us. Lord, we love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.